I want you to keep the tape going back there in the tape room, because I want to add and make sure that my endorsement and extension is on record for what Jim Underwood has just said. Now, we don't realize it at the time, and I've just got some minor insight into this. But this is one of the finest and deepest prophetic messages that's ever come from this pulpit. Not only is it prophetic in that it is talking about the future, but in that it is incorporating the things that God has done in the past. 3 years ago, I stood in that old building over next door, a little more than 3 years ago, and said to the 300 people who were packed into that room that sat 200 people, that in 3 years this body would grow to encompass at least 3,000 people. And all I got was a titter of laughter back. We have surpassed that 3,000 number. There's only about 1,000 of you here this morning. But there's another 2,000 out there that we are touching in a very vital way, half of whom will probably be here next Sunday because you're not here. God has been dealing with me about the direction of this body and our purpose in the city of Melbourne. And I need to continue on just a little bit with what Jim is saying, because even as he was speaking this morning, the Spirit of God was really dealing with me. I didn't realize last Wednesday when I asked Jim if he would teach this morning that God would use him in such a way. I thought it was going to be because I had been busy all week long. I've been over at Jesus 78. I've spoken four times. I've traveled to North Carolina in the midst of all of that, that I was going to be so exhausted I just wasn't going to feel like doing it. I didn't realize that God had a far greater purpose than just resting me in the midst of this. But God's been speaking to me very specifically out of the book of Joshua and saying there are two books that are absolutely mandatory for the steps that God is leading us here in Melbourne. One is the book of Joshua, one is the book of Nehemiah. And this is what he said to me out of Joshua. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. Be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You were given this morning when you came in a sheet, and if you have not received one, we want you to have it. I don't want you to read it right now. I just want you to have it. We've got extra ones. If you do not have this sheet that was given, I want you to raise your hand. We've got some men who have some extra ones. We want all the adults in the room to have a copy of it. We're going to make a presentation. We're giving it to you this morning. Tonight, after Dr. Morgan teaches, and he's teaching this morning in Montreat, North Carolina, he's flying back home this afternoon to be here for the meeting tonight. Following his teaching, we're going to have an open discussion of the principles that are incorporated in this presentation. Those of you who are interested in following through, this is a presentation on the very thing that Jim Underwood was talking about this morning, on presenting an alternate society to the city of Melbourne. We are very serious. We're serious enough to lay down our lives that the kingdom of God come in the city of Melbourne. And I mean that very, very literally. I'm prepared to lay down my life, and I'm prepared to empty my bank account that the kingdom of God come to the city of Melbourne. I do not have more vision right now than the city and community of Melbourne. The Lord may provide that. 2 months ago, and we've been praying and studying on this for a long, long time as it's developed. 2 months ago, I wrote a letter to a man who has the means to help bring this to pass. One of the needs that we have, one of the immediate needs we have right now is property. And I wrote a letter to a man who has the means to bring that to pass, and included in that an extensive identification, outline of what you have here this morning. And I didn't hear anything. Just silence. And I've sat back and I've said, Lord, what are you doing? I have prayed. I've spent time waiting before God. Why is it that there is this blockage? I was tempted to call him on the phone. He lives out of town. And I got a block from God that said, don't do it. Yesterday, after finishing up my session at Jesus 78, I'd spoken over there for the last 3 days to that mob of people that we've had over there. Came out of the tent, and there stood a man who introduced himself as the man that I'd written the letter to. I'd not met him before. I spent 3 hours with him yesterday afternoon and with his brother. And we talked about this alternate society and the vision and the dream that God has given us here in Melbourne. And I realized as I talked to them, I was talking to men who have within their hands the capability of helping us to bring all this to pass. And then as I realized as I talked to them, that not only did they have the capability, but both of them over the last year and a half have been touched by God in a new way. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. They are men who have a burden for world missions that's 100 times, 1,000 times greater than anything we have here. In fact, as we talked, one of the men began to talk, his cousin who was there with him. And he said, well, he says, listen, we've got to really seek the Lord to see how God is joining our hearts together with what we have and what we can do and what you can do for us. And I said, well, what can we do for you? And he says, well, he says, I have just made a pledge to the World Literature Crusade for World Missions for $1 million, and I don't have the money, and I'm trusting that God's going to provide it for me. And he says, I'm going to trust that God's going to help provide it through you in the city of Melbourne. And I said, that's just like the Lord. God is not going to give us anything free. Everything that's given to us, we have to possess. When Joshua went into Canaan, even though it had already been promised him, it cost him everything. It cost him discipline. It cost him obedience. Those who disobeyed were wiped out, were killed. It cost strict discipline. They had to vary not from the right nor from the left from the law of God. They had to follow him in every way. In the process, not only did they possess the land, but they grew as men of God at the same time. Now, I believe that the day is here and is at hand. And I'm seeing things draw together today that startle and amaze me. I sat back there a few minutes ago and I could feel my heart beating in my chest because I know what's been going on over these last few days, and now I sense that something is all drawing together in God's time. That the day is here, that even as God told Joshua, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth unto you to possess it. When we left yesterday afternoon after sitting out there for those hours talking with these men, discussing what the vision that we felt that God had given us here, and they were sharing with us the vision that they felt that God had given them and the possibilities of how all this could work together with the bringing together of property and land and finances and means from the outside to make all of these things come together in God's time. And as we sat there and as we prayed and committed all that back to God, I began to realize that we're right in God's timetable. And I said, what's the next step? And they said, well, we've got a board of directors meeting Monday and Tuesday, and we're going to have to convince the other members of the board of directors that what we're doing and what we're feeling is part of God's plan. And I said, all right, there we are. We've got some commitments back there. And I'm not going to tell you who they are because we're not ready for that yet. But I know that I've got to begin a heavy session of fasting and praying for these next 3 days as we move into this. And I encourage you to join with me, even though you're not really sure what we're talking about yet. I encourage you to be here tonight and come, and we're going to have a time of teaching in the Word of God. And then we're going to open this up for a discussion. And we're going to try to answer questions that you may have, because what we have given to you here is just enough to stimulate you so that you can ask questions. But we are talking about a practical aspect of the kingdom of God. We're not talking about the ethereal aspects of Christianity that most of us have lived with all the rest of our lives, our past lives. We're talking about the practical aspects. We're talking about building land. We're talking about a retirement center to take care of the old people. If you could only see what's happening in the state of Florida, and see what's happening, the charts that you see, as the state is filling up from the southern half, like the bottom part of a bucket, as all of the retirement people from all over the United States are funneling down to Florida, and coming with them is all the talent of the kingdom. Just because a man has reached 65 or 70 years of age does not mean that he's lost his talent and his ability. We have a great vision of seeing these people use their talents and abilities and experience here in the city of Melbourne, and bringing things to pass and seeing God's kingdom come to pass so that we can reach out to a world. But we're going to build a home base. We're not going to go off half-cocked. We're not going to do anything strange. We really feel that God has saying for the last 11 years, establish relationships, build trust, build love, because the minute you start building anything above the ground, suddenly you've got people at odds with each other. We've seen it in organization, we've seen it in building, and so for 11 years we have contented ourselves with learning to love one another. Now the time is here where we're going to crank into motion and say it's time to come up above the ground where our foundation has been laid and to start building some superstructure around it. So I urge you to be here tonight as we go into this. I don't want you to get any kind of great visions or wild schemes. We're only doing what God is telling us, but we are right on God's timetable. And there is a movement that's taking place, and I know that there is in the heart of so many of you out here a restlessness that says it's time to move. Ready to move out. So many of you have been in training for years, learning, struggling, sitting, waiting. And I have an excitement inside of me as I realize that God is bringing this body together in a very corporate and real way to establish something here. We're not building a kingdom for ourselves. We're trusting that God is going to use us as living stones to build His kingdom so that the world may know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jim referred to John 17 just a few minutes ago. I need to go back to that. In John 17, 21, 22, in those verses that are encompassing right there, Jesus says to His apostles, His disciples, just before He leaves to return to heaven, Jesus says to them, the only way that the world will know that I am the Son of God is that you love one another, that you come together in unity. And our vision and our dream, that the city of Melbourne and the county of Brevard and the state of Florida, the nation in which we live, the world in which we live, will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord, is that as we come together, as you come together with your wife and with your husband and with your children, as this body come together and live together, and as the body of Christ and the city come together, they're going to know that Jesus is Lord. And the reason they don't know it is because we've not been able to do it in the past. But we're ready. It's going to cost you a change of lifestyle. But that's what the kingdom is all about. So I want you to think and to pray and to ponder on the foundational message that Jim Underwood has given to us this morning. I don't want you to allow yourself to be drawn off into visions of where you're going to be in the midst of this. God has not given us light for tomorrow. He's given a vision for tomorrow. He gives us light only as we walk into the vision, step by step. I believe with all of my heart that we're going to see the manifestation of the power of God in this community. I believe with all of my heart that we're going to see the sick healed, those who have been declared hopeless by the medical profession, healed. We have just got inklings of it here and yon as we have moved along. But that's coming to pass. I believe with all of my heart that we're going to see the dead raised. I believe that. I believe that we're going to see what Jim was referring to a few minutes ago, that as Christians pass through the mills and through the industries of this community, as Christians walk up and down the halls of the hospital, as Christians go into the schools and into the schoolrooms and the classrooms, that wherever their shadow falls, the sick are going to be healed. I believe that. But I know it's not going to come to pass unless we have disciplined and regimented ourselves to the place that we can be used of God. We will not turn to the right nor to the left, but we will walk as His Spirit directs. And that's where we've been. That's where we are. But I believe we're going to see manifested, and we're beginning to see it already, the mighty power of Jesus Christ as His Holy Spirit is here. We're coming to the end of the era. We're coming to the end of history as it has been written and recorded. And God is raising up a people who are different. The bride of Christ, adorned for her husband as he returns. It's not a scattered body. It's not a fractured body. It's not a sick body. It's not a dying body. It's a young, live, vibrant, virgin body made whole and made pure by the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, that your Holy Spirit move across this body this morning, right here, in this place, as you brooded over the waters in the creation of this world, that you now come and brood over us, that you come and spread your wings across us this morning, draw us into your care. Draw us into your presence. Draw us into your wholeness. Draw us into your healing right now. Visit us with your Holy Spirit. Now, O God, come and fulfill your promise that you will not leave and will not forsake us. Touch those who are sitting here in this room now who are sick with the power of your Holy Spirit and bring healing now. Flow through these bodies, these who have come with great expectation, waiting and yearning and longing for you to touch and heal. Bring now your healing power upon us, O God. Bring healing to the bodies. For we will give you praise and we will give you glory. I pray now, in your sovereign power, that you unite broken families here this morning. Husbands and wives who have not been able to come together in unity, who have gone their own ways, who have stubbornly refused to give in to what you are saying. By the power of your Holy Spirit, bring unity where there has been division. I pray now that you visit us with your love, that consuming, overwhelming love that causes us to lay down our lives for one another and bring unity to families where there have been fathers and children who are separated and mothers and children who are separated. Bring your unity now, O God, for we would prepare ourselves for the coming of your Son, Jesus, without spot or without wrinkle. Heal us. Visit us. Unite us. Fill us with your love and with your hope. Deliver us from the bondage of Satan. I speak to every demon spirit that inhabits the bodies of Christians in this room, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave. I command you to leave. You cannot come and inhabit the temple of the Holy Spirit. I command you to leave, to set the people of God free, to leave. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, be delivered from that thing which has held you in bondage. Hallelujah. Lord, we accept your freedom. We accept your deliverance. We breathe into ourselves the Holy Spirit. And the unholy spirits are gone, and we confess that right now in the name of Jesus Christ, we are set free. Hallelujah. I want you to sit there for just a minute and just breathe in God. And even as you breathe in the air from this world, breathe in the Spirit of God. I want you to let Him fill your body this morning. Out into your arms and your fingers and down into your legs and all the way down to the soles of your feet, into those internal organs, some of which have not worked because they've been hurt and sickened, into the marrow of your bones, into every nerve and every muscle, flowing through the circulatory system of your body, through the blood cells, pumping through your heart, healing your mind and your brain. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be filled with the Spirit. Just inhale Him into every cell of your body. Let Him come. There's healing going on in this room this morning. I bless you, my Lord. I praise you, my Lord.